I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5 Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all the tools today.
I'm like that.
Maybe.
Yeah. With Brandon, CJ's phoning in from satellite.
Hey, you know how I do.
At an undisclosed location for a couple minutes. How's the weather out there, man?
Oh, man, it's cold, bro. It's cold. You know, this ain't my cup of tea. I need some hot tea. You dig what I'm saying?
Man, you got the coat on and everything right now. I thought Virginia was a little warmer than that.
Yeah, I'll be damned.
Man.
Well, guys, the cold is real, and last night it was windy in Buffalo.
Sure was.
And Brandon, I know you were at a...
I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take Brandon, this football all day.
Brandon had to take a cold shower after that game.
I'm like, man, they threw three passes? Is that right? I believe Mac Jones only... Yeah, 2 of 3 for 19 yards. That's my kind of football right there. That's good, efficient.
66%.
Wait, how many passes did Mac Jones throw?
Three.
I had to leave at halftime for my improv practice. And what did I text right before halftime? I was like, Bill Belichick would love a win under 10 passes.
Oh, man. Total net yards, 241 for the Patriots to 230 for Buffalo. This was definitely a defensive game, 100%. And it played right into the hands of Bill Belichick for
we
sure.
We all picked the Patriots last night, right?
I believe so.
I think I picked the Bills. I'm not sure.
Oh, did you?
I just updated it.
Season, boys. I had 10 wins this week.
Yeah, did you? Yeah, I updated it last night. I didn't look to see. Did you check the?
I just looked at them and remembered what I picked.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. We'll go over them again, I'm sure.
But yeah, so we out here. We calling it.
So.
But last night, here's a question. Like, everyone is so quick in the fantasy world, especially in all of our fantasy football league chats. Like, we're in different leagues with each other scattered throughout. Everyone's like, oh, man, I hope Ramondre Stevenson takes over. Why is everyone so quick to ditch Damian Harris? Damian Harris is a very good running back.
That 64-yard run looked pretty nice.
The 22-yard run coming back in from a hamstring looked pretty nice.
I believe that was on a pin and pull, too, to the outside. And he just put that foot in the ground, turned it upfield, and hammered it home. Uh-oh.
Is what? Availability.
There you go. I like that.
That's true. He gets banged up. That's true. And it's good having a battering ram behind him, but everyone wants Ramondre to step into the lead role.
I think they're both... This might be different than the Sony Michel situation. I think that we're going to see both of these guys. The Patriots want to keep both of these guys.
I think this is Bill's peak scenario. I think this is what Bill's always wanted. Two backs, both explosive in completely opposite ways.
Yeah.
And just run it up.
And bring in your complimentary receiver here and there.
And having Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith to make weird formations and blocking schemes out of the backfield with. And still hold the edge as a tight end. This is what Bill's always wanted.
Hey, look, N'Keal Harry's out there. He's serving a purpose, man. He's
and
out
not
there.
One.
He's out there setting the edge for the. Yeah.
And not one goddamn star on the team. This is what Bill Belichick has always wanted.
Yeah.
No, it is. It is. Look, Bill, you got to give him a shout out because, look, he did really well in his game planning. I think Sean McDermott is a little salty, you know, in his post-game press conference. He was like, let's not give Belichick too much credit than what he deserves. Man, get out of here with that, all right? Brian Daboll did make adjustments. McDermott did make adjustments. To have 9-10 guys in the box and not be able to stop the run and the Patriots get 7, 8, 10 yards a pop, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Every time that Buffalo offense dropped back to pass, I just dropped my head, man. Josh Allen should have did his best Cam Newton impression last night.
When they sent him into the pile, when they sent him into the pile last night, he looked like a running back. He was carrying three dudes for like 5 yards on those couple carries that he got in the first quarter. He looked good.
I just
and the Patriots' weakest part to attack is up the middle where they got a rookie starting.
Look, guys, I just love the fact that they were so worried. The Patriots were so worried about Mac Jones being able to throw in the wind that they literally were not going to let him throw the football at all. Like, they must have been in pregame like, nope, we don't like that. Because you got to really rip that thing to get the nose of the ball down against the wind like that. So yeah, it's just interesting.
Mac Jones throwing those little lobs. This is not going to go in.
He's a touch. He loves to throw with touch and accuracy, but he's not putting it on a line or a rope like Josh Allen can.
No, Josh Allen was built to play in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted the Giants to draft him.
They would have ruined him. He'd already be out of the league.
Probably.
I mean, this is a real thing, man. You get drafted in some spots, you just sometimes you can't come back from it, man.
All right, guys. Well, here's a question. Is Buffalo?
I think the aliens have body snatched CJ.
Yeah. Okay, so is Buffalo still a Super Bowl contender? Or was this just the Patriots have turned into a Super Bowl contender themselves?
So the Bills are not contenders. They are not contenders.
I disagree.
It disgusts me. They are not contenders. This was not an eye-opener for them. If anything, it just shows that they're not as good as what they thought they were. Do they have some of the better skill position players? Sure, but where it matters, they don't have players there. And I don't think the Patriots are legitimate contenders. Not yet. I think they're trending the right way. I think they will be maybe next year, over the next few years, but not right now, personally.
Yeah. I mean,
the way this defense is playing, defense can work magic in the playoffs. Look,
they're scary. I would not want to see them in the playoffs, especially in Foxborough. But
I'm going to tell you guys right now, the way this defense is playing, and you throw three passes, you still find a way to win on the road against Buffalo. I don't know, man. I mean, they're finding ways to win. That they're 9-4. We got to take them serious, man.
I'm taking
them
serious.
This is legit. You know what? I'm on the bandwagon right now. I'm going to jump on it before it's too late, but it might be too late. People might kick me off, but I think that we could legitimately see the New England Patriots in at least the AFC Championship game playing like this.
Listen, if Bill Simmons is going to lose his if this happens, because before the season happened, Bill Simmons went on his podcast. He said, listen, I know this sounds insane, and it might be my straight Patriots fandom, but this team reminds me of the original OG Patriots Super Bowl team, the one where Brady came in and filled in for Drew Bledsoe. It's like we have a very similar defense. We have a very nice little running game. No stars. He's like, I really think that the Patriots can go to the Super Bowl. And Twitter has been destroying him for like 3 months. Just destroying him. The dude that was on the podcast with him. And just every week, and then they started winning, and then they started winning, and then they started winning, and now Twitter's getting a little quieter.
There isn't really a team that's winning in a dominant way right now against good opponents, anyway.
I feel like the Patriots are winning dominantly because they're running the ball down people's throats.
The teams that can do that, the Colts are a team that are that scares you. The Patriots are a team that scare you. I mean, look what the Colts did to Buffalo.
Yeah,
they just ran all over them.
Oh, Buffalo's in trouble.
Yeah,
Buffalo's gonna. We're gonna see how resilient they are.
These teams are in trouble that are at near. The ones that were favored originally, I believe. I mean, the Ravens, they're in trouble. They don't even have a secondary left. The Steelers have been in trouble. we should look at all these front runner teams and just try to make a decision, because CJ was doing that exercise for most of the season, just trying to kind of categorize teams a little bit to see where they land. It'd be interesting to see what he believes some of these teams look like, because it's not cut and dry at all. I mean, it's not cut and dry anywhere.
Yeah.
In terms of who's going to be in the playoffs, who's going to compete for the championships and compete for the Super Bowl.
My AFC list was short for contenders. I kept it short for a reason, because I thought it was top heavy. I said it was the Chiefs, I said it was Buffalo. And the dark horse, of course, I said Indianapolis. I still stand by Indianapolis. I think they're a threat. But there is a darker horse. It is the New England Patriots.
They are a dark horse no more. Honestly, they're just not anymore. They were. And look, I had a hard time. Look, their schedule was supposed to get tougher right now. This was supposed to be, what, game two of a tougher schedule here at the back end? And they're handling it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're handling
it. They are. I thought they were going to struggle a little bit when the going got tough. But who would have thought Bill Bell?
That's why I held my breath. I held my breath, man. I've learned my lesson in the NFL that, you know, sometimes these schedules can be front loaded or back loaded differently.
Totally.
And just identifying, you know, when that peak could happen or when that downfall could happen. I mean, the Steelers kind of hit that wall last year, but they hit that wall for a lot of different reasons. But they're Matthew a good example Judon, of that.
Matthew Judon may be the greatest defensive free agent signing ever.
Yeah.
Like, give me somebody that was brought in free agency that flipped a team like that.
I mean, in the moment right now, it sure feels like one of the best. And I know normally, he got banged up yesterday. He's good, right?
Yeah. Normally a scheme fit just doesn't come in like that. You just don't bring somebody in that changes your defense like that.
I heard him talking on the Monday night broadcast about how, you know, he was so intrigued by being a part of this organization to begin with. Like he felt he got there and it just felt like, okay, this is what it's all about. And he's embracing it. And for that, I mean, almost we had this discussion before, Woody, where, you know, all these guys that they brought in free agency are like the perfect Patriot types of players, you know, like,
well, we said that in the offseason. We literally like, wow, this was bold that they're giving all this money to these guys, but this really are the perfect guys for the Patriots.
Selfless, like they don't need to be superstars. They're out there, you know, you got guys blocking and doing it with pride in the run game type, those types of attitudes. I mean, it's almost like a college team in a lot of ways. It's just, it's so buttoned up and well done. You just hats off, man, every time.
Totally. A little news at the top of the hour before we go into the rest of the games. Brandon, you know, we've been doing a lot of draft coverage. Go to Football Scout 365's YouTube page. Me and Brandon have done two videos so far. We did first video, Aiden Hutchinson, Kayvon Thibodeau, the top two pass rushers in the draft, probably the number one and number two overall pick. And then we did Kenny Pickett, the possible Heisman from Pitt. Maybe Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback next year.
Yeah.
I'm
blown away by, you know, I've gone back and I started to look even more at Kenny Pickett, and I'm becoming more and more impressed by him, by the way, and to look ahead
in the championship game when he fake slid.
Yeah. It's a heady move.
That was smart. That was real smart.
He made that play on the fly.
See, did you see Kenny Pickett in his conference championship game when he took advantage of how the defense can't hit a sliding quarterback and he faked a slide?
That was a smart run,
that, man.
That this dude does stuff like that in crazy situations. So
I'm telling you, the way he moves and when he does stuff like that, it reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson.
I think he has that it. And, you know, I would even take it further because he's a bigger quarterback. I would even say some young Big Ben in him.
Ooh. Well, there you go. You're getting Steelers fans because we literally, before you jump back on, I said maybe possibly the Steelers starting quarterback.
We brought it up on the YouTube video that we did last Friday.
Steelers fans YouTube channels, when you search Kenny Pickett, are like, Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh.
That's
Steelers
our guy. Let's get him.
Local boy. He's probably eating the Roethlisberger already. They already seen him in the stadium a few times because that's the low. You know what I mean? It just fits. Dang.
And what's crazy about him is he could have come out in last year's draft, but he bet on himself coming back for this fifth year. He took advantage of that.
He wouldn't have even drafted last year.
Yeah, he would have actually had to have graduated last year and not had that extra year of eligibility. But the COVID year gave him that free extra year, and he took advantage of it coming back.
Isn't that awesome? Bowling 101 archery.
So there's a little bit of an asterisk. There's an asterisk next to him being the all-time leading passer. In terms of yards and touchdowns for Pitt, ahead of guys like Dan Marino, for example, and I think it's Alex Van Pelt. Both those guys, he surpassed both of those players at Pitt. And but still, if you look at his numbers, his first 3 years, and then just look at this past season, the jump is just incredible. It's like Joe Burrow-esque type of.
It's funny you say that, Brandon, because that's the first place my mom went, was like, okay, well, what changed? Was it his OC this year? Did he get a new OC? Did it just.
It hit same OC from last year, Mark Whipple. It's a West Coast style offense. I think it's just a comfort factor, probably year over year.
Well, continue with college football, boys. Here's the thing. This is the thing. This is college football's problem. And this is what kind of ruins college football for me. And they got to do something to fix it. But I don't think there's really a fix to it. So Oregon's coach leaves. Cristobal leaves. He's the new coach of Miami, right? So what does Oregon's top draft prospect, Thibodeau, do? I'm sitting out the bowl game now because I'm going to make bank as a prospect getting drafted high in the NFL.
I have no issue with that.
No issue with the player doing that. If my coach left before my bowl game, I'd do the same thing. I'm looking out for me and mine.
He probably would have sat out anyway. He knows where his bread is buttered, where he's going to get drafted already. He's either number one or number two at this point. If
John
he's
Abraham
top five.
Clone. John Abraham clone.
So, yeah, I do see that. It has been a problem, but you won't see that if the college football playoff expands and Oregon's in it, for that matter, you know?
No, that's true.
That's where we got to get to.
Actually, we might. For top prospects, there's a lot of money on the line. Okay, so
insurance.
Other news, because this is also huge. I wanted to talk about this. So with the new sponsorship deals in college football, Brandon, why don't you break down what's going on at Texas right now? Because this is going to change college football forever.
Oh, well, I was reading this and I sent this to you guys last night. The whole offensive line, some sort of a foundation that they set up.
It's the O-line, the Pancake Club.
Yeah.
It's so
apparently these guys can earn $50,000. All of the offensive linemen at Texas can earn $50,000 a piece. I guess it was like $800,000 put into this.
It's like a shitty sales gig, but you're just mauling dudes.
Yeah, you're getting paid to play football, and every school is going to, you know, they're going to see this. They're going to take advantage of it, and they'll up the ante. And eventually these guys are going to have serious market value. It'll be measurable value. We'll be able to see. We'll be able to look. Yeah, I do too. I think that we'll be able to look at a 5-star kid and say, oh, this kid's worth it. You know, Michigan or Ohio State versus somewhere else is this much versus that. And that's going to be where the recruiting starts to go. And you'll see parity in college football. It'll be amazing. It'll change the whole game because you won't just have some schools who are willing to cheat and pay players under the table. You'll have every school that has money, has the ability to take advantage of that.
Well, you know, the boosters are psyched because now it's like back to – they can write it off. It's not like in a sandwich bag.
And the kids, Michigan players are donating money. Like J.J. McCarthy, a 5-star true freshman, just donated like $10,000 to charity the other day from his NIL money.
Man,
so they're being schooled and coached to, you know, hey, here's because the big question mark going into NIL. And this is when I wrote a paper for my master's degree, which was on NIL. The professor asked me during the final, hey, how do you feel about the tax situation in these kids and how they're going to be able to handle it? I think that that's a big part of it educationally. These kids got to figure out how to handle.
It's also going to be a big part of the programs. The programs are going to have tax people available.
Hey, look, this from that standpoint, it's good. I'm jealous because I wish I had $10,000 of extra leftover money to donate to charity.
Throwing it away.
But, you know, early education is what it's all about, right? So it forces these kids in this situation, right? And whenever you're forced into a situation, what do you have to do? You have to learn, right? Yep. So it forces them to become financially literate as opposed to your normal 30-year-old male or female in America. You know what I'm saying? So we can spin it in a negative front if we want to. But honestly, giving kids more money and giving them more opportunity, it's better for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that they're going to be getting more so like paychecks rather than actual just sandwich baggies full of cash. And it's traceable income. Like that's going to change
McDonald's
the way
bags.
These kids spend the money too. Because like when you get money in hand, you know, I'm looking at things I can just hand the money to. Like, oh, I want that chain. I want that jacket. I want this. I want shoes.
Now you can actually put the money in a real account.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, so I would carry it around. I would carry it around, you know, with rubber bands like T.I.
You're a mark, man.
Look, that's what I would want to do. I mean, look, I'm still sort of kind of ignorant, right? First thing I would get if I was one of these kids is probably a gold grill.
And guess what? 100%. If you want to, you can. That's your choice. That's your decision, right? You have the freedom to go do that. And guess what? There's probably more money waiting on the other side. But at the same time, you said being financially literate.
My fiance has stopped me from buying a grill twice.
I haven't even tried to add.
I wouldn't even know what to think if you popped on here like that. I'd be like, okay, what's going
on? Is that shoddy?
What is happening? But hey,
yeah, we out here.
But can I tell you guys a funny one? Go ahead. No, just real quick. There's a local car dealership here in Columbus. Quinn Ewers was in a commercial the other day, but he had already transferred. Like, he already put his name in the transfer portal. He's doing commercials for this local car dealership here with a couple of other Ohio State players, which was kind of funny. So he came here because in Texas there were rules against NIL that they need to fix that I think that they may have already adjusted. But since he was still in Texas, he skipped his like senior year. He had already graduated.
Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever. And then he ended up at Ohio State this year so he could take advantage of NIL. So he came up here to make money, and then he's like,
get the bag before you're out of football. It just makes sense. You're not gonna go to the NFL. Like,
this kid is supposed to be the next Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, so man. Okay.
I mean, that's
the his 1 year of eligibility left.
No. What I'm saying of high school eligibility.
Oh, he's getting hyped. Oh, wow. Okay.
So he left because he finished school early enough to where he could reclassify, like CJ said, to this past recruiting cycle, came to Ohio State from the state of Texas. He's taking advantage of NIL right now in Ohio because you're allowed, and decided at the end of the year he's going to transfer, more or less because he doesn't want to battle it out with CJ Stroud.
I've been thinking the past couple of days, the explosiveness that Lincoln Riley's offense will bring to the University of Southern California, combined with the entertainment plugs attached to USC with their filmmaking school and whatnot, going to be massive opportunity to make money and grow your name as like a product.
All kinds of filmmaking
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be nuts. I can't wait.
All this stuff, it makes kids grow up faster, right? Like,
better.
You see it now. There were guys that we thought coming into the college football season that were going to take off. And, I mean, you can't really put your finger on why they didn't, but giving these kids this money, I could see them losing focus. Whereas, you know what, the next kid, maybe, you know, the fame and the money doesn't get to him, and he's still working just as hard. He's still in the film room just as much. But, like, the one guy that I really point to is DJ Ungulele at Clemson, right? Like, they were supposed to have a good team. And it's not all his fault, but a lot of the lack of success they had this year was because of their quarterback play, you know? Yeah. And you see this guy walking into the stadium with, like, you know, big old fur coat and a nice hat on, fly as hell, you know? And I hope the kid, you know, reaches that type of success, but that's kind of the negative end on it. But look, I'm all for everybody getting paid.
It's real, man. Sure. If you suck and you're wearing that stuff, you just look like a damn fool.
You do.
Straight up. Like, the reason why Floyd is Money Mayweather, walking around with all the bling, because he's never lost. Like,
right.
If he walked around like that, he'd just be, what's old dude from New York's name? That was supposed to be the chosen one. And he's been knocked out like
Judah?
No. The guy, he tried to fight 50 Cent. No, the New York boxer, the one.
Oh, you talking about Broner? Adrian Broner?
Yeah, Adrian Broner. You just look like Adrian Broner.
Yep.
that's all that it is.
That's great.
All right, let's jump. Oh, in other news, this is huge. So there's layers. We're talking about the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers game. Obviously, there's a lot to say about this game. Big Ben's final game, Pittsburgh, he led Pittsburgh back. They weren't moving the ball all game. Then all of a sudden, him and Deontay Johnson just did it right on the field. Two touchdowns. End of the game, brought him all the way back. Lamar leads him down the field to the end zone, scores a touchdown, and John Harbaugh says dial it up again, and everyone's like, really? Really? Yeah. Not Justin Tucker? You could just you could take.
I wouldn't worry about that.
What? Well, here you go. There's a reason why he did it. Mid game, the Ravens found out. All pro corner Marlon Humphrey is probably done for the season, and they were like, one, we're not going to be able to guard it. Deontay Johnson's been cooking already.
Yep.
Two, we may need this win at the end of the season to secure this division. So they put it all on red, and unfortunately landed black.
Look, I like aggressive calls. I always think there's a time and a place. And even a lot of times when the media says there was no time and no place for it, I don't listen to that sometimes, right? You go with your gut. If you're an aggressive coach and if that's what you do, that's what you do. And that's what Jim Harbaugh does. With that said, I didn't really like it because you got Justin Tucker. You hadn't forced a turnover all game. Big Ben, overtime. I would have just taken my chances. I feel like it was a turnover waiting to happen at some point.
See, we're getting feedback. One sec.
All right, man. We'll see you next week.
Man, tell me I see blue lights and red lights everywhere, but I'm not stopping.
Can't hear you.
Hey, you tell them aliens stay away from me, man. None of that.
Later, dog.
Sounds awful.
That was CJ McLaughlin live from Mars.
Yeah, that probe is sounds awful, man.
But so Marlon Humphrey, Brandon, Aaron, the Ravens' defense has been suspect. It's been getting better as the season's gone on, though. This is a massive hit. They've lost both their all-pro starting corners.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, honestly.
They don't have any running backs to slow the clock down and keep people from passing the ball.
Freeman has been okay. He's not the guy that's going to get into the playoffs and win you a bunch of games. I mean, I think situationally, the Steelers are kind of a tough matchup when you're thinking about running the football and being consistent, but the Ravens can run the football on just about anybody. They were able to do it enough to be adequate in this game. This is a game the Ravens could have won. And speaking on that 2-point conversion, if Lamar just kind of lofts that ball with a little less zip on it, they're going to complete that. So, I mean,
yeah, that was the thing. It was a bad pass by Lamar. Mark Andrews was open. And it was game, like you said, you texted right in the group chat right after having it. It's a game of inches, an inch closer to his face.
Yeah, that's it, man.
That
just
glove
a little less.
Locked onto the balls.
And we've seen Andrews, and they said it during the broadcast. He's tipped passes like that to himself in the past, but you just got to take a little off of it, you know?
Lamar can do it. Diabetes.
I'll be honest, man. Looking at their situation at corner right now, I'm just trying to look and see if I can find some of their other corners. I mean, they're not in terrible position. It looks like Anthony Averett, 4-4 guy from Alabama, he's going to be able to probably step in there. And then they still have Jimmy Smith, but you know, they're thin at that position. And
Jimmy Smith maybe has a little left in the tank. He might be able to push it for a few games down the stretch.
Well, I'll be honest, man. I don't know what they're going to do. I know the linebacker
Devontae
position.
Devontae Freeman. If they can get this kind of production out of Devontae Freeman and run the ball, maybe they can weather the storm a little bit.
He's grading well. He's not having a bad year at all. I mean, he's just getting better. He's obviously getting more comfortable with what the Ravens are doing, and they're leaning on that. They're leaning on him in the run game. They're leaning on him as a pass catcher. I like how they're using him. I think that they're really trying to use him how they plan to use J.K. Dobbins, honestly. You know, a lesser version of that. So,
yeah. Well, but again, the guy that I think is the key to this injury isn't even in the secondary, Brandon. The dude that's going to have to make up the difference here to help these young corners out, his name is Adafe Owe.
Yeah, you love
he's
this
gonna
guy.
He's going to have to get to the quarterback. That's what he's going to have to do. He's a first-round pick for a reason with that speed. And he's made some game-changing plays. But to help these third and fourth string quarterbacks become starters, you have to put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and he's the guy to do it, and he's a special player. He's showing it. He doesn't get the love. He's starting to get the love that some of the other rookie, you know, defenders that we hear about are getting. But again, I mean, he is definitely that speed off the edge. It's game wrecking speed, and he's going to be the guy that they need to count on. But that speed has to get home, right? I talk a lot about this. Like, you can bring as much pressure as you want. You can get pressure there, but teams who are able to get the football out quickly and run, you know, things underneath, especially, you know, again, the Ravens linebackers not having the best year. Now they're struggling at corner. Teams will be able to exploit this defense with the quick game quite a bit, I believe.
Chargers, Bengals. The Chargers is a big win for the Chargers.
Yeah.
I kind of wish C was still here to knock me back down to earth, but I'm excited. This is a win they needed. And the best part about it was they shut down Joe Mixon.
Yeah, they did. And that has been their Achilles heel all year is trying to stop the run game. They changed it up for this game and they figured it out. They shut down the run game. Mixon only had 54. He still had 54 yards. Not only he did reach the end zone. I know Joe Burrow, he banged up a finger in this game, but he didn't look great really from jump. Like the start of the game,
Joe
struggled.
Mixon hasn't looked great in four games. Joe Burrow hasn't looked great in like four games. Joe Mixon's looked the opposite. He's been looked amazing the last four.
Well, games. One guy who had a hell of a game was T. Higgins. So I mean, yep. They found him again, and that's huge. So for the
what's up
on
with
the
Jamar
Bengals
Chase?
Side,
is Jamar like since that Ravens game, 8 receptions, 201 yards. He hasn't had more than 5 receptions. Hasn't had over 100 yards.
Teams are forcing him to play underneath. They're not just going to let him, you know, get over the top of him and make play. He's just going to have to make more plays underneath, which is fine. That's what teams are going to do to you. That's what teams are going to do to these guys who like to get over the top of a defense. But yeah. He is no longer a guy that's going to get single coverage all the time. So,
yeah,
that's for sure.
I think this game solidifies the Chargers making the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like if they can play like this consistently here the rest of the way, I think so.
If they get real production from Justin Herbert in the playoffs, the Chargers are a scary team. I would not want to play them.
He had a good game, too. Yeah. I mean, 317, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick.
I heard someone break down the other day what's been going on with Justin Herbert's inconsistent play. I can't remember who it is. I'd like to give credit where credit is due. Oh, I think this is I think it was Ryan Russillo. And he had Trent Dilfer on. And they were talking about how Justin Herbert, the reason why he's been off and on this season is because normally they're doing a Justin Herbert what you do to a quarterback in a third year. The first 2 years, you build them up with the extra blockers and like the extra protection. And this year they're giving him like the franchise quarterback treatment where they're leaving him naked and actually running like full routes, full route trees and not
forcing
like
him to
he's going through all of his reads. So he's going through that learning period, which comforted me a lot because I was worried. I was like, oh, is he not as special as I thought he was? No, he is. They're actually just giving him a bigger bite.
When you do that to a guy and you're giving him more on his plate, treating him like that, first off, that means the coaches have a lot of trust. They believe you can do it. Second of all, for a guy like him who had a lot of success a year ago, and we look at the things that he was successful doing. I mean, he wasn't consistently doing it that way. You know, he's doing more half field reads. He's not coming across the field looking for stuff. And on top of that, you know, when you're taking away a guy that would normally be there as a pass protector and sending that additional player out into a pass route for him to look for, he's got to be able to make quicker and more decisive decisions and not just try to escape the pocket. Because, look, quite frankly, there's quarterbacks out there that are just great athletes and they rely on it a lot. Patrick Mahomes is one of them, a guy who you can chase him around or get to him quick and move him off his spot. It'll throw him off. So Herbert is a similar style.
Did you see the touchdown pass to Guyton in this game?
I did not.
Brandon, you have to go watch it. He rolls all the way out right. He's outside the pocket to the right. He throws cross field 60 yards to the other corner of the end zone.
Wow. Flick of the wrist, too.
It was unbelievable. It was absolutely unbelievable. The guy is superhuman. Bengals, are we worried about them losing the – it's rough. So we got the Browns. Browns' record is like 6-6. Yeah, 6-6. Bengals are 7-5 now. And then we have the Ravens, who are at 8-4 now, right?
Yeah, they're 8-4.
And the Steelers are 6-5-1. So that tie is looking important.
Yeah, it is. I would say that, I mean, it's still up in the air over there in that division. Like the AFC North, I'm not confident in Cincinnati still. I mean, I think they're a very good team. I think they're on the rise. All these teams, I believe, if we look at the schedule, like, for example, you look at the Ravens the rest of the way here, they've got the Browns. Then they got the Packers and then the Bengals. So a lot of these teams are going to play each other again. And then
that Browns game may decide their future.
Yeah. That, I mean, the Browns have to, you know, yeah, they got to make up some ground here. But the Bengals, you know, they could easily drop, you know, another game or two down the road here. And again, you're playing the Raven. The Bengals have to play the Ravens again. And we'll see. I mean, it's kind of like a playoff within a playoff before the playoff to get there. So a lot these teams are going to beat themselves up trying to get to the playoffs as it is. So
that's true. New York Giants, Miami Dolphins. Dolphins win this one 20-9. Brandon, this is the first. I have one thing. The first time I've been happy as a Giants fan this season. In this game, Saquon Barkley looked unafraid running on his knee for the first
good
time.
And I'm happy.
He tried a jump spin where he jumped in the air and spun.
and these are the things you want. Yeah, he's out there. He's testing it out, man. He's showing people he can still do it. You know, a lot of my thought process is about his reluctance or at least him not really playing a whole lot this year, you know, aside from the fact that he's hurt, you know, maybe taking a little extra longer to heal up and, it, you know, based on whatever the scenarios are from the injury, I think that he might not want to play on a bad team. Right. And that's what my thought process is with him. But to hear you say that about him out there trying to make some plays and do some things like that, that is that's awesome. That's good to hear.
Also, to attack of a tag of Aloha, here's the thing. He's not looking like amazing, but I'm starting to see now. Like I never saw it before, but I'm starting to see why he was a top draft pick.
Yeah.
Like he's got a little swag to him now.
Well, remember we talked about it on the YouTube show with Kenny Pickett, right? You're looking for guys who can, you know, make the anticipatory throws. They can see things and Tagovailoa, it's Tungavailoa. And Mac, you know, prior to Mac Jones, it was Tua that was able to do that stuff at Alabama. And then Mac Jones comes in and shows that, wow, like he can do it and maybe even just a hair better than Tua. But both guys were very similar outside of the fact that Tua was a, you know, super athletic before his injury.
Well, guys, I think we're going to start seeing the more of what I'm about to say in the future, because I think we've discovered something here. And I've always wondered for years why people haven't done it. And now they're going to start doing it more because. Why the hell, if you have the opportunity to draft your college quarterback's ex-teammate that he already has chemistry with, why would you not do it?
Oh, yeah.
Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Now we got Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle. It's just a good idea. Like, they already have chemistry.
Yeah, if they're especially the high-level ones. I mean, it's not – let's face it, not every school – has a great wide receiver, for example, they might be good or average or whatever, just a good college player for that matter, with a really good quarterback or vice versa. So Alabama is just different.
The casual fan doesn't understand how much practice reps are important.
Oh yeah.
Those long summer days in training camp for college football. Like you build up rep, you're staying in dorm rooms with these guys. It's a different type of bond.
Waddle's a special player too.
Yeah.
He's definitely, he's Daniel got Jones. That it factor.
Daniel Jones missed this game and the next game. I love it. Keep racking up those losses, baby.
Yeah, I believe Mike Glennon is also injured. I don't know if he's going to miss this game, but if he does, I believe Schefter said yesterday it would be Jake Fromm.
I just hope the Giants don't take Kenny Pickett. I just really hope the Giants don't take Kenny Pickett. I don't think he's what we need. We already had a middling quarterback. Like, just trade for an elite guy, please.
Yeah, if they can pull it off and get an elite quarterback,
Russell
that's what
Wilson.
You want to do.
Get Russell Wilson. This is what we need. He's there. Go get it.
That's real.
It is. Jacksonville Jaguars, Los Angeles Rams. Brandon, you and I were all over this one. Actually, I think you went Jaguars, and then I convinced you. Because I was like, no, this is a get right game. Like,
yeah, I don't know why I would even think that at this point.
Trevor Lawrence a bust? I will continue to ask this question every 2 weeks.
Well, no, because, I mean, everybody said Tua was a bust. And yeah, you got to give a guy, give him a couple years. You got to give him a couple years. And then hopefully the Jaguars, you know, they relinquish themselves of Urban Meyer, or Urban Meyer, you know, takes a step back and hires some new offensive coaches that can help develop Trevor. And again, you see flashes of this guy and his ability, his talent, his arm strength, all of the stuff that, you know, coming into this season as a rookie that everybody expected to see. But he's going to have the rookie woes, and he's having a lot of them. And look, a lot of great quarterbacks have terrible rookie seasons, and then the rest is history. So I'd give him, got to give him time, not a bust. Looks like one, but he's not necessarily a bust. A bust of a rookie. There you go. He busted as a rookie. Next year could be a whole different story.
Do we see more Sony Michel in the future? Because here's the thing. Daryl Henderson looks great on like the outside, like the off tackle runs, the draw plays, catching on the backfield. But that power run game that Sony brought to this offense,
and that's what wore
down the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. He was running it up the gut. I love
him. He's a good pass protector. You know, they brought him to LA for a reason. He's not a guy with a ton of miles to begin with. I mean, he didn't have he had a significant amount of usage at Georgia, but still, you know, even with New England, he wasn't run into the ground. So again, I like him a lot.
I like backs that can punish the defense in the
fourth. Yeah. Guys who can run, you know, run between the tackles and get it outside when they need to. I think it's a good 1-2 punch, him and Henderson, but I would love to see more Sony Michel out there. I think this was an opportunity for him to show that he could be, you know, the number one.
For sure. All right, let's not spend too much time on this game. Let's move on to the Buccaneers and Falcons. I don't think there's a lot to say here. The Bucs were the Bucs, except Leonard Fournette. I think he's finally turned into this is peak Leonard Fournette. I don't think he's ever going to get better than this. This man is he's changed who he is. He's putting up Joe Mixon numbers now, like 50 and 50 ground and air.
Yeah.
All purpose yards. Like, what's going on?
It's Tom Brady's usage of a guy who can catch a check down. It's not, you know, and he is really good off screen passes, by the way, too. So you give him that opportunity, he can make a play.
He showed flashes of it at LSU. He used to catch some screens out of the backfield.
He's he is between the tackles savant too. You know, this guy he can run through arm tackles. You got to square up and you got to hit it. He's the guy in the fourth quarter though that you're like, man, I got to keep tackling this guy. That's the kind of player that Leonard Fournette is, or at least should be. And I think that that's what helps Tampa Bay down the stretch, especially when it comes playoff time. You got to start to lean on a guy like that. And then you've got Ronald Jones just kind of laying in the bullpen at any moment.
He left this game after one quarter because he was just feeling sick. So he's not injured. He was just feeling sick.
Yeah. So you got him in the bullpen down the stretch. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be ready to go for the playoffs when you need him. So it's not a matter of Fournette, but man, you've got a couple backfield players that you could lean on when it matters the most in late in games and you want to wear out a defense. Definitely do that. Playoff.
Is Rob Gronkowski still the most dominant red zone target in the NFL?
I mean, does a bear hit in the woods? I mean, for real. I mean, He is something else. I can't believe that he still plays the way that he does, as beat up as he's been.
I know. He knows no other way. Gronk smash, dude.
He's a machine. And I think that he's just super motivated to be on the same field with Tom Brady. Like, he is just like, if he's hurt, he's probably the kind of person who's like, man, I'm letting Tom down. Let my buddy down. I got to get back and I got to get going. I got to get out there. And this dude he never ceases to amaze me here. Like, two touchdowns in this game.
Well, here, I got something for you, Brandon. This is a bold one, and this is for all you fantasy heads heading down the stretch. He might be out there in some of your leagues still. Russell Gage is going to be a top 15 wide receiver to the end of the season.
Yeah, he's playing to the level that we expected him to. You know, with Ridley, we expected Russell Gage. Russell Gage showed that he can be a solid wide receiver. you know, in recent years. So again, with Kyle Pitts still being a tight end, who should play more like a wide receiver, he does at times, but I think again, and we discussed this probably last week, Kyle Pitts takes on a lot of attention, which opens things up for guys like Russell Gage and Olamide Zaccheaus again, and Cordarrelle Patterson. A lot of his success as a receiver out of the backfield can be attributed to the fact that you have to, you're putting some extra eyes on Kyle Pitts, right? And now, I mean, this Falcons offense is dynamic, but they don't do a great job in pass protection.
If you can give Matt Ryan time, he's still a good, very good quarterback.
Yeah.
But it is hard to give a man who can't move time. That's why Brady has had the luxury of the longevity, because he's been behind great lines.
And the Falcons defense is just bleh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals, Chicago Bears, 33-22. Arizona won this one. Kyler Murray back from injury, doing Kyler Murray things. Only threw the ball 15 times. It was muddy. It was wet.
Oh, yeah.
Windy in Chicago. Man still threw two touchdown passes. Ran the ball 10 carries, 59 yards. Another two touchdown runs. MVP. If Kyler Murray closes out strong, he's winning the MVP. He's the only guy who's put up elite consistent stats all year.
Well, it's good to see him out there, you know, running the football, getting, you know, being Kyler Murray and not just somebody who, oh, well, he's still injured and he has to kind of stand in there and not be himself. So that's a tremendous sign. And hats off to Arizona for just gutting it out without him, without Hopkins. Several weeks, man, you lost your starting running back at one point. And you still had James Conner, but man, you're out there trying to win games with Colt McCoy and it worked. And yep. This coaching staff has done an amazing job. I've been so critical of this staff, and I really didn't think Cliff Kingsbury would be able to get a team to this level, but we're looking at a potential Super Bowl caliber team right here. And as long as they stay healthy, I think they can do it.
James Conner, just love the season this dude's having. That catch that he made out of the backfield for that touchdown, that was beautiful.
He's just in a great system.
It's his perfect system.
Yeah, they spread it out, you know, a lot, and they're not, you know, running him into a stacked box when they're actually running the football. Like the Steelers they've run every one of their running backs into a stacked box. It's like running them into a brick wall. I mean, look at Najee Harris's production even recently. I mean, they're not able to do a whole lot running the football because teams are loading up on it. But this is just such a great scenario for him. A lot less wear and tear. And I think that they can get more out of him the next few years if they're hanging on. I don't even know what his contract is, but you might want to keep him on the roster. Right?
Yeah, I think he has 1 year, like $3 million, so he's going to cost a little bit of money. David Montgomery, newsflash. He's a beast. Back from injury.
Yeah,
he was running tough on Sunday.
You've got a nice backfield combination if you can
figure out. Giving Herbert carries. He had 4 carries, 16 yards.
And you don't have to, again, like I had mentioned, I like Montgomery. I think Herbert is a great player too, but if you get the right coach in there, you could see a nice 1-2 punch out of that backfield. Herbert's a good receiver. He's very underrated out of the backfield. He's somebody that you can do some things with and you can take, cause you don't want to run Montgomery into the ground. He's your franchise running back, right? You want to have him, you want to try to make him last. You don't want to send him, you know, to the bench like Saquon Barkley and some of the other guys, CMC. So if you want to get more out of him, you got to find a way to implement the other guy. I think that's something Matt Nagy just fails to do. You know, he fails to do a lot of things that make sense. And that's why the Bears are 4-8.
I still don't know why they are still keeping him. Like, let's see what they can do without him, you know?
Well, they were going to get rid of him and they were going to give him past Thanksgiving, and then somebody said something and probably messed that up. So that's they denied it. Now they're going to wait a few more weeks and probably it. So
Brandon, we're about to play a name game. Are you ready?
I'm terrible at this.
Davante Adams or Justin Jefferson?
Oh, all right. You're giving me the names first. Davante Adams. Wait. What's the context here?
Who would you rather have?
In what? Like, what are we talking about? If
right
I was
now,
a franchise
one, no,
owner.
One game.
Okay, just one game. Oh, Davante Adams.
Give me Justin Jefferson. This kid's a friggin' beast.
He is, man. But I mean, Davante Adams just
Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson.
Oh, I'm taking Tyreek Hill.
Give me Justin Jefferson. I'm sold, man. I love this dude.
Now, if we're looking at it from the context of, well, who has the better quarterback and who makes their quarterback look better?
It's Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson is showing that. Because
you know,
I mean,
what Aaron Rodgers would do, or Patrick Mahomes would do with Justin Jefferson? The way this man runs routes, no one can stick him. He's unbelievable.
Hey, nobody can guard Tyreek either, man.
Well, that's true, but he doesn't run routes like Justin Jefferson. Tyreek lives off speed.
Yeah, I like all three. It's hard to.
I do too. I'm just putting a point that you actually have to think about it. That's where he has gone. He's turned the best rookie season ever from a wide receiver into being superstar year two. Boom, 23 years old.
He was a superstar last year, man.
Yeah, exactly.
He raised the bar so high on himself that people are like disappointed in what he's doing this year.
I took a risk. We started a franchise draft this year, a dynasty league this year in fantasy. And I took Justin Jefferson at the end of the first round, number 12 overall. And people are like, wow, Justin Jefferson. I'm like, dude's 23 and had the best rookie wide receiver season ever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why anybody
would critique you for that. Yeah. There's no gamble there.
It's just I was a little nervous because, like, what if it was he takes a step back year two? That's what my thought process.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? Taking a step back could be 100 yards less, you know. He's still all pro caliber.
And I think we're seeing what he could do without Adam Thielen in this offense, who left with an ankle sprain early.
Yeah, if he's the number one guy, for sure.
Okay, how many times does Kirk Cousins have to lose against bad teams and put up good numbers still? Do we have to debate whether he's a good quarterback or not?
I think he
gave the Lions the first win of the year, but he still threw 30 for 40, 340 yards and 2 touchdowns. And yet, like, he still had really a few dumb plays like in the game that really like screwed
him. I mean, Jared Goff had a heck of a game too, you know, for his standards.
Well, one thing I didn't get was, so Jared Goff can't handle the blitz, right? He just can't handle the blitz. And then they stop blitzing him.
Yeah, you're giving him free reign to.
They went into prevent defense when he can't stop the blitz. Like, he can't read passes with the blitz.
Yeah, these guys, look, this was a great game.
Is Mike Zimmer still a good coach? Is he all there still?
I think that if they don't obviously turn this around and get to the playoffs, so to speak, and it's not looking good at this point, I think we're going to see a change at the end of the year, obviously. So, and I think that could help Kirk Cousins. That could help the entire team. This is a solid team, man. They've got some players everywhere.
I was all over this game, bro. I knew what the Vikings were coming off last week. I picked the Lions to cover easy in this one. I should have gone money line.
Yeah, the Lions, man. I can't believe it. They got it done.
Shout out to my Trojan, Amon-Ra St.
Brown. Hey, that game-winning play, man. I'll be honest, man. I was watching that, and I had watched that play, and it developed. And I sat there, and I thought to myself, we joke around about conspiracies in the NFL. You do. And the way things kind of set themselves up. And I'm like, are you kidding me with this crap? So you don't want to mess up your
opportunity. He found that hole in the zone. It was real neat. It was real neat.
It's just, this game had me wondering. Like, wait a minute.
Well, welcome to the club. We meet at the QAnon coffee shop.
Yeah.
Eagles and Jets. Gardner Minshew. Little Minshew magic on Sunday. Brandon, are the Eagles
a better football team
with Gardner
Minshew? Did you even
Minshew
say anything?
Quarterback?
I don't even think you even said anything. You just sat there humbly, like, yeah, I've been waiting on this moment.
No one ever gives me credit for anything, so I'm just gonna let it ride now. Because I've been all over it.
But here's the thing that's great about this is quite honestly, I mean, you're debating over
sorry, I live next to a hospital, yeah.
Oh, you're fine. Good grief.
Yeah.
Sounds like Red Dawn out there. It's an emergency. All right. Anyway, so Gardner Minshew, you know, you were all over, like you said, and he had 20 of 25, 242, just a super efficient football game. And he was locked into to Dallas Goedert, by the way, in this game. He was doing what you would expect him to do, and find one of the main targets on this team. Hats off to the Eagles for doing this. Now, I did hear some discussion. I think Nick Sirianni, he had already said that Jalen Hurts would continue to be the starter, regardless, when he's healthy. So,
but this is the worst possible thing that could happen to Philly when trying to develop a young franchise quarterback. Because fans fell in love with Minshew on Sunday, and the first pick that Jalen Hurts throws, the whole entire stadium.
And we know Minshew, Philly fans.
Minshew. And they fell in love with this man on Sunday. What did I tell you? What did I tell you when they traded for him? I lived outside of Philly. This is the man, the stash alone. I knew the stash alone. This is the man that a city falls in love with.
And does he Philly have to, is that city. Does he have to play a certain amount of games or something in order for, you know, part of that trade to be valid? I believe there's something to that.
No, it's just Carson Wentz. Oh, wait. That might be true. Yeah.
We'll have to look into that. I don't want to speculate.
We'll have to look into that. But here's the thing. We see the difference in this two quarterbacks. So Jalen Hurts, incredible runner, like a running back from the quarterback position. Probably second best running quarterback next to Lamar Jackson. Correct? I would take him over Kyler Murray just because he's bigger. Just running.
I like Josh Allen when he actually does it.
Yeah, Josh Allen too. But he's up there. Like, he's right up there.
If it comes down to a designed run, yeah. He's not a burner, but he will find open lanes. Yep.
And he runs good angles. But he's not an incredibly accurate passer. So he usually bigger plays, chunk plays, but you see what consistency brings, because Gardner Minshew, not the strongest arm, but incredibly accurate. Yeah. Great ball placement.
And more, you know, he's good at getting it to a spot, getting it to the receivers when they're moving. You know, a lot of stuff that Hurts is really good at is, you know, receivers that aren't consistently moving. Maybe they're stopping in a hole in the zone and he's just putting it on them that way. But he's a better anticipatory thrower, I would say, Minshew is, than Jalen Hurts. I have to go back and watch this game a little bit, or at least even the highlights, to see how Minshew looked. But, you know, judging by what I'm seeing or the small sample size that I did watch, he definitely showed some things that you're looking for out of an NFL starting quarterback.
Yep. Zach Wilson, maybe his best game as a pro thus far.
Yeah.
Not saying much.
I think that there's just a lot of pressure on that kid to come out and do some things. And it's, you know, it's promising to see that, you know, 226, two scores through one pick. He's kind of in the same boat. I think he's in a better situation than Trevor Lawrence is. That's for sure.
Brandon, Colts, Texans, Colts 31, Texans 0. Before this game, what did I say? I said, good football teams go out and destroy bad football teams.
Oh yeah.
There's no question. 31-0.
Yeah. And another Jonathan
Colts
Taylor
have
special.
Turned a corner. They ran it up with the Bucks. Tom Brady got the best of them flat out. That was Brady won it at the end. Other than that, the Colts should be 8-5 right now.
Wentz, this is the kind of football that Carson Wentz is really good at, because you're not asking him to do anything. You're not asking him to win the game for you. He was an efficient 16-22 for a whopping 158 yards, had the one touchdown, but you leaned on Jonathan Taylor, 32 carries, 143 yards, two scores. I mean, the guy just, and Jonathan Taylor.
They found a legit number one wide receiver, Michael Pittman Jr. In the second round.
Yeah. And he's a chain moving receiver too. Like he's the guy that they're looking for in the big moments to move the chains. So 26 first downs for the Colts to 9 for the Texans in this game. So just utter domination in that regard. They were far better and they were better than 50% on third down. Yeah, it was a clinic, so to speak, in how to beat a bad team, how you should do it. Don't let them hang around. Dominate them in all the ways that you should and break their will as Jim Harbaugh would say. I had to throw that out there.
Washington football team.
Big Ten champs.
Big Ten champs. Washington football team, 17. Oh, by the way, the Colts, their defense, the way they're punching out fumbles, it's pretty inspiring.
I know. I think we talk about that a lot, honestly. It's a clinic. If you're teaching a kid at any level of football to go out and do that, what do? You're going to turn on the tape of Darius Leonard or, you know, anybody who specializes in punching the football out like that, because they're trying to do that on a consistent basis.
They are. And it's showing because they're getting those turnovers.
Yep.
Darius Leonard is my defensive player of the year right now. I've said it for the last few weeks now. The guy is the heart and soul of that defense, and he's taken what was a shoddy defense and turned them into like an upper tier unit.
Yeah.
Washington football team 17, Raiders 15. Raiders are gonna Raider, right?
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
It's just a huge loss for the Raiders. A huge loss.
And here you go. The Washington football team just kind of hanging around. Ron Rivera.
Football team might slide in the playoffs.
I believe that they probably have a great opportunity to do it. I'm just, you know, obviously you got to get past the Eagles in that regard. And I don't know. Taylor Heineke, the dude is not like great in any way. He just finds ways to make plays in key moments. Antonio Gibson is playing well now, even though he's still hurt and banged up. They did lose Logan Thomas after they just got him back. He's done for the year.
I heard that it actually wasn't as bad as they thought it was.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's bad enough that I think he won't be back until...
Have another season-ending surgery.
Okay, there you go. For the Raiders, though, looking over there... Carr, you know, he didn't have a touchdown. He didn't throw a pick. Just not great football by the Raiders. I mean, Josh Jacobs, 13 attempts, 52 yards. They didn't even run the football that much, to be real here.
Yeah.
Like, this is an interesting game to kind of analyze. The game was fairly even everywhere, but third down, Washington dominated that. You know, Las Vegas, they had more yards than the Washington football team. It just came down to key plays and key moments here, and they pulled it off. So
Seattle Seahawks 30, San Francisco 49ers 23. Seahawks, man. I broke the rule in fantasy. I started Carson Wentz because he went against the Texans, and I knew they were going to have a great game. But Russ owns the 49ers. He just always has. You don't bet against Russ against the 49ers.
Yeah, he hit one of the moon balls to Tyler Lockett.
And I loved what Seattle did here. They knew he was having trouble getting the ball out, so they got him a bunch of easy short throws to get him back into rhythm.
Yeah. Here's the thing that sucks for these guys. I mean, it took Seattle so long to kind of get going. To where they were able to play like this and get things back on track. And yeah. Russ played well. The 49ers, you know, they were okay up until, you know, the end of the game, obviously.
Jimmy G looked good until he threw those picks.
Yeah, so, again, Jimmy Garoppolo has been good for the 49ers. You know, even though those two interceptions in this game and they didn't win this game, I'm still... I look George at him Kittle, as a guy.
George Kittle was the player of the week this week. He was absolutely good phenomenal. Grief.
180 yards and two
his
touchdowns.
His best play wasn't even that touchdown catch where he towed the sideline. His best play was that block that he laid on trap for Elijah Mitchell at the goal line when he just creamed that linebacker.
and he's the kind of player who takes so much pride in doing that.
He does.
Like he's happier about that than making plays with the football in his hands. 100%. Yeah, that's tight end school 101 right there, baby.
Elijah Mitchell looking more and more like the number one in San Fran next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Broncos 9, Chiefs 22. You know, I said the Chiefs are going to cover in this game because Teddy Bridgewater sucks and the Chiefs defense is playing better. When Daniel Sorensen is getting pick sixes against you, you have a bad quarterback. I'm going to leave it at that.
Well,
Daniel Sorensen is probably the worst starting safety in the NFL.
Yeah, I would say that Patrick Mahomes is a guy that we need to key on here. I mean, 15 to 29, 184 yards. They're doing enough to win. You know, the Chiefs offense is still not there. You know, it's just not there.
I don't know. They played a tough Denver team. Denver's really coming together.
It used to not matter, right? Offenses take advantage of great defenses in today's football. And it's just not, that wasn't the case. And I don't look at Denver as a great team in any shape or form. I think more or less because of the quarterback position, you look at the offensive side, their defense is good, but Patrick Mahomes was kind of pedestrian in this game. There's just something that deeper here that doesn't make sense to me with this offense. And they can go one week where they look good and then they come back. It scares me for them in the playoffs, you know, like they're going to make the playoffs. This team's going to make the playoffs. What are they going to look like when they get there? What are they going to lean on? What are they really good at offensively that they can lean on when they need to? Because you're not going to be playing the Broncos. You're not going to be playing the Raiders, maybe, in the playoffs. You're going to be playing real opponents. You're playing the Patriots. And guess what? They're not going to give you anything. They're not going to give you anything easy.
It's true. And this just in, Javonte Williams is a star running back in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. 100
yards on the ground, 76 through the air.
Woo! Been waiting to see it. And
first game, Melvin Gordon was out.
And that's what every fantasy football owner of Javonte Williams has been waiting for. And it's, you know, for some, it may be too little too late, or it could be the perfect moment for your playoffs.
Yeah, peaking for the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
Brandon, listen, I'm taking something back, okay? I admitted defeat on my Darrell Williams is better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Well,
I admitted defeat, but wait. What I did say is that the Chiefs would much rather have Darrell Williams in there on third down in passing situations for his blocking, and he is a better receiver. And that has stood up.
Yeah, I think even the first week when CEH was back, that was something that was recognizable on third downs. Darrell Williams was on the field a lot more. So, you know, I like it. And you look, in today's NFL, you need a couple good running backs on your roster. You know, look at the Ravens, for example. They already had a couple good running backs. Both of them got hurt and they're down to, you know, the bare bones minimum in their backfield. You know, they're picking guys up. So again, the Chiefs, they've got a solid core in their backfield. I still don't think they're very explosive, either one of these guys. They're not going to hit you for a 60 yarder, you know, down the middle of the field. You know, they're not going to give you a Jonathan Taylor moment. That's for sure. Right. Okay. So again, playoff time, I just want to see what the Chiefs are going to lean on in the playoffs, because if Patrick Mahomes is going to be pedestrian and teams are going to take things away from him, like they've been doing so successfully, what's it going to be? Is it going to be this defense making plays? And
we got to wonder what's going on when they shut down Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Honestly, I mean, we should do like a little film review session, you know, for YouTube or something, just kind of take a look at some plays, see what the defenses are doing to them. And so we have a good beat on it once we get to the playoffs, so we can actually call it out when we see, hey, this is what's happening in this game. And this is why they're either succeeding or they're failing. They've either overcome something or a team, you know, is unable to do what other teams were able to do. And Patrick Mahomes has figured it out. Right. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's real. Brandon, before we close this out, I want to know, are the Chiefs, I feel like there's no one really emerge. Like the NFC is stacked. I feel like we're still waiting for someone to emerge in the AFC.
Yeah. New England, man. Yeah. I'm just going to say it right now. Right now they're the front runner and it's going through New England. That's it. They're looking at the number one. They're looking the number one seed dead in the face. They don't look. They beat Buffalo, man, throwing three passes. Like, That's just saying, hey, we can beat you a multitude of different ways. That's scarier than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, it's real.
There's teams out there that just blow the doors off of you, you know, in a game, and you're scared to death of that, you know? And yeah,
for sure.
I'm going to beat you 14 to 10, and I'm going to get to 14 in a weird way because I don't think they got to 14. Did they get to 14 with two touchdowns?
14, two touchdowns.
Was it? They went for two, though.
No. Yeah, they
– Yeah.
There's two so field.
It was – It wasn't two. It was the touchdown, the 2-point. It was that long touchdown run by Harris, the 2-point conversion. They were up 8-0, and then two field goals. Insane wins, by the way. So hats off to the kickers. Both
Nick Folk is having one of the best kicker seasons of all time.
Yeah,
straight up.
It's
he's a won me fantasy weeks this year as a kicker. All right, guys. As always, thank you for tuning in. Check out the YouTube content. We got video. Video, baby. Brandon nailed the draft last year. Absolutely nailed it. And I'm lucky enough to be able to be invited in, help him on the video content this year. And we talked some great stuff about Kenny Pickett. And I've been looking at more films since we broke him down. Honestly, becoming a little bit of a fan. I don't know if he's going to be a star yet, but I can see him as a starter in the league, especially after that conference championship.
Yeah, we got Kenneth Walker next, so I'm putting that together now, and then we'll record it on Friday and hopefully have it out by Monday of next week. And we're going to try to pick up some steam once this show cuts down to like one a week. Then we're really going to be firing on all cylinders. We'll be incorporate some CJ into the analysis here and there, and we'll start doing a lot of NFL draft coverage. So
there we go.
Be fun.
All right, as always, check out the number5toolsportspodcast.com and same thing on Instagram. I need to hear some music. We out of here.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.